From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you and welcome once again to the program that seeks to Let the Bible Speak. We continue to Let the Bible Speak today upon the subject of the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking once more at the desolate place, the wilderness, in which those temptations occurred. Our hot topic for today is about kids and their desire to be celebrities. First, however, we have a grand old hymn of consecration. In full and glad surrender, I give myself to thee. I'm utterly and only and evermore to thee. In England, they have what they now call National Kids Day, a day for preteens to let the world know what they think. According to its organisers, and I quote, "The idea of the special Kids Day is to give preteens a national voice for their opinions in a very simple format. This particular age group has some very clear ideas on how the world could be changed for the better, but are very rarely given the opportunity to express them." Skipping the obvious jibe that to look at the inanities being practiced by so many of our political and religious leaders, you would think that we were already being governed by a bunch of preteens, I want to look seriously at one aspect of the annual survey that tabulates the kids' answers to standard questions. When asked, "What do you think is the very best thing in the world?" the results were as follows. First, being a celebrity. 2, good looks. 3, being rich. 4, being healthy. 5, pop music. 6, families. 7, friends. 8, nice food. 9, watching films. 10, heaven and God. The answers the kids give to other questions about the evils they see in the world and what they would change if they were in charge naturally show their naivety, but the list I have just cited shows a whole lot more. Look at it carefully, and you'll gain an insight into modern Western culture and why once great nations are self-destructing morally and socially. These kids are growing up in a society in which celebrities are almost worshipped. Not usually for any intrinsic worth, but because of the artificially created image of glitz and glamour. Hollywood has its stars. Rock and rap music, pardon the oxymoron, have their stars. Sports of all kinds produce stars of varying magnitude. Models and supermodels are also stars. In many cases, these stars are obnoxious, ignorant, non-productive members of society. As often as not, they're in the news, thus increasing their celebrity, because of their drug habits, their alcoholism, their sexual deviancy, or their violence. In any sane society, they would be pawn scum. But in ours, they are celebrities. And naturally our kids want to emulate them, never thinking what a life, and indeed what an eternity of misery, they are wishing upon themselves. It's no coincidence that the polls that tell us that to kids being a celebrity is the greatest thing in the world also tells us that God and heaven hardly get a serious thought. I realize that the survey was taken in England, and that England is now among the most godless places on earth. I realize that there is a more religious education here in America, but I doubt if the results of the same survey would be much different if taken here in the US. The awful fact is that there is an alarming lack of true biblical instruction, and what little there is usually swamped by the tide of hedonism and narcissism of our entertainment culture. Even the churches feel that the only way they can give their message is by adopting as much of the celebrity culture as possible. You know the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. Well, that's what most churches have done. That's why we have Sunday services turned over to Christian clowns or Christian comedians or some celebrity who has recently professed religion in some form or other and is suddenly deemed fit to be a spokesman for God. Now, I'm all for new Christians witnessing, and I'm happy when a celebrity is genuinely converted to Christ. But I think we do both the Lord and our children a great disservice when we reinforce the already all-pervasive perception that everything, even the gospel, is better off for the addition of a splash of celebrity. If ever we needed to hear the words of Jeremiah, it's now. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls.
Mighty God, while angels bless thee, may all mortals sing thy name. Lord of men as well as angels, thou art every creature's theme. Lord of every land and nation, ancient of eternal days, sounded through the wide creation, be thy just and endless praise. For thy rich, thy free redemption, shall thy praise unuttered lie.
Break my tongue, such guilty silence, sing the Lord who came to die. From the
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and it's coming to you out of Greenville, South Carolina. I'm Alan Cairns, and it's my privilege to bring the broadcast to you day by day. Before I give you our mailing address and other ways to get in touch with us, I trust that you'll remember that if you haven't yet signed up to receive your free copy each quarter of the Let the Bible Speak full-color magazine, that you'll write or contact us and ask for it. I'd also draw to your attention our monthly devotional tape. It's a sort of an electronic magazine. Very many interesting articles and teaching devices in it, and we'd be happy to let you have it. So please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you'd like to contact us by email, the email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd like to call us toll-free, our telephone number is 1-866-877-5827. That is 866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you.
All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
We now return to our study of the temptations of Christ as recorded in Matthew chapter 4. Yesterday I noted the desolate place where they occurred, and it is to that point that we now return. For here there are vital lessons for every believer in his own battle with the tempter.
The wilderness was for Christ a solitary place. There was no John the Baptist there. There were no disciples there. There were no friends there. He was alone with God. The solitary place. That appeared to Satan to leave him vulnerable. How wrong the devil could be. But in this place alone, how often we read of Christ going alone to meet with his Father, getting away from everybody, to get alone with God in the solitary place. And that was the very place of the devil's attack. It's always so. Let me put it to you very simply. In two ways. Be very, very wary in your own life of isolation. I talked about wild beasts a little while ago. Have you ever seen the savage films of the migration of the animals from South Africa right up through the Serengeti, right up into Kenya's Maasai Mara? Hundreds of thousands of wildebeests are just on the run. And the lions and the crocodiles are waiting. What do? They watch for one that straggles. They watch for one that gets isolated. Perhaps attention is taken away, becomes careless. And as soon as it's isolated from the herd, almost always, it's dead. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. The fellowship and the closeness and the friendship and the bonds of prayer and love and mutual kindness and support in the church of God are ordained of God, not merely for our comfort, though they are for our comfort, but they are ordained because they are absolutely necessary. Be careful of the danger of isolation. But that's when Satan will tempt you and Satan will defeat you. But think of it another way. There is a lonely place, an isolated place, a solitary place where every Christian must go. Jesus said, you enter into your closet, you shut your door, and there you meet with your Father which sees in secret. There is a secret place of prayer. There must be in every Christian's life. There must be that place when you leave family aside. Mother and father, husband and wife and children. You leave them all aside. You set aside the commands and the demands of the workplace. You leave aside all of the entertainments and attractions and the imperial commands of the world. And you get alone with God. There has to be that place. You're never going anywhere with God unless you first go there in the solitariness of the secret place. No Christian's life is ever any stronger than the strength of his experience in the secret place. Alone with God. But that's the very place where you will most meet the devil. Understand that when you get to the solitary place to meet with God with a desire, as no doubt Christ was never without, a desire to meet with God. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He could no more think of getting alone without getting alone with his Father than he could breathe without air. It was an impossibility. And yet as soon as he got alone, Satan came to attack that very place and, if possible, to breach and break, fracture forever that fellowship with the Father. Guard the secret place. Guard the place of your solitary communion with God. It's going to come under attack. Haven't you noticed it in your own life? I'm sure you must have noticed it. Every time you set a time aside to meet with God, there'll be 101 other things that must have your attention. There'll be people who must have your attention. There'll be things that must be looked after. And it takes a severity of discipline to say, short of something that God makes clear to me is a matter of life and death or something of supreme importance, this is my time with God, and nobody on earth is going to come between me and the Lord. Very important. Now, I know that's difficult. difficult for us all. I suppose, and my heart goes out to you, I suppose that it's more difficult for young mothers than for anybody else. Maybe I should just tell you to forget about going home for lunch and now launch out and give a bit of a lecture to some of you husbands to tell you how you ought to deal with this. A young mother is in a home with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children. They don't all sleep at the same time. They don't even all want to eat at the same time. Their noses run, their diapers need changed. They get sick, they get to crying, they get hurting. One's in a crib, the other's able to run around. It'd take the energy of 10 men to look after them, but one woman does it. Where does she get time to pray? Where does she get quietness to get alone with God? And Satan comes to rob her of that which she and her family most need that she maintain, that secret communion with God. That's why I say I would need to give a lecture to the husbands. For instead of you coming in to say, I've worked hard all day, it's my supper on the table, put your feet up to gorge your soul night after night on what Hollywood has to offer you from your television, first and foremost, you need to take control of your own family. You need to spend and be spent for your own little ones. And you need to give that wife of yours time to go, and I mean time to go and get alone with God, to get her mind cleared and her heart opened and her soul lifted up to heaven. Be very careful how Satan wants to rob us of that solitary communion with our Father. And believe it or not, I'm doing better this morning. First time I only got as far as the introduction. Now I've got halfway through. And if the Lord wills, I'll get the other half done sometime. But I trust this morning you realize what the Lord Jesus has done for you and me. I hope you'll understand the reality, the raging of the temptation. Providence of God in leading him there. The place to which he led him. The significance of those 40 days in the wilderness. And let us learn from this, as we'll see if we go on, that Christ stands forth here as a mighty champion of his people. He suffered being tempted. Thank God he's able to help you and me now when we are tempted. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word, we pray. We thank thee for our Savior. We thank thee for his willingness to endure. Lord, we confess we can't begin to understand all that our Savior endured. We can't, O God, begin to understand why the Lord Jesus went to such depths, why he endured such awful affliction out of love for guilty sinners such as we are. But oh, we thank thee that Jesus did it all for us. We thank thee that the last Adam succeeded where the first one failed. He conquered where the first was defeated. We thank thee that he regained what the first one lost, and lots beyond that. Thank God it will never be lost again. We rejoice in our beloved Redeemer. And our Father, we pray that Thou wilt so fix our eyes on Him that though tempted and tried, we will be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Help us to overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.